Hey, everybody, on this edition of the Talking Puck Podcast, it's time to look at round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Along with Mike Haynes, I'm Tom Callahan. We'll take a look at each series, give you the major storylines and factors coming up, and see if we can't figure out who's going to get through. Right now, there's eight teams left, and it hasn't been more exciting in recent memory. Boy, what a great time to be a hockey fan. Stay tuned. The Talking Puck Podcast is up next. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon as we are taking a look at the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have four matchups, four very good matchups. It doesn't matter, Mike, where you look, what series you watch. I think you're going to be greatly entertained. There are some fantastic matchups here, and every single one of them promises to be a doozy. At least I think so.
Well, seven out of the eight first-round series were close. Only one was a sweep, and Nashville had no chance to win any games in that series. Everything else was close. You had a couple of game sixes, and you had the rest went going to game seven. But as it turns out, I think you could make the case that the best team won each series. There was no huge upsets. I mean, technically, you have Tampa Bay as a number three beating Toronto to advance, and also same thing
St. Louis. Right.
But you know, that was a toss up, and Tampa Bay is the two time defending champ. So it really played out as the best teams have moved on, which now leads us into talking about what's coming. And so we've got great series, and I'll just say this. I still think the Stanley Cup Finals are being played here in the second round. It's the two best teams in the NHL are Florida and Tampa Bay, and that's your Stanley Cup Finals as far as I'm concerned. That's the series I'll be watching. I think it's the first series. It goes at 5. It starts at least 7 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock where I live, and that to me, Tom, the other series will be interesting, but that's the best series. And as far as I'm concerned, that's for the Stanley Cup. Those are the two best teams in the league.
Well, let's start right there, Mike. And I always like to throw out the old caveat of, well, what if it's such a tough series that whoever survives is just out of gas? But I think you could say that about every series left on the board at this point.
Yeah, there are no, it's hard to imagine we're going to see any sweeps. I mean, or I hardly even imagine you're going to see five game series. You break it down, we'll start in the East. I mean, that to me, it has all the makings with Florida against Tampa Bay of being a seven gamer. I mean, it seems like it on the outside. And then, Carolina's an interesting one to me just because the goaltending situation.
Right.
If Anderson can come back, they might be the favorite. I mean, even though I'm saying these two teams, the Florida and Tampa Bay, to me, are the two best teams in the NHL, and this is the Stanley Cup Finals, if Anderson comes back and plays well, they might be the benefactor of what you just said. With Florida and Tampa Bay just go at it? And I don't think it's going to be an overly huge physical series necessarily with Tampa Bay and Florida, but, you know, it's going to be a great battle. Carolina with Anderson, I think they got to be a real favorite against the Rangers. But boy, Tom, during the regular season, those two teams battled it back and forth all year. In fact, the Rangers almost finished first in that division.
They did. And down the stretch, there were a couple of big games that Carolina won. But here's the thing, Mike, it's interesting to me. And you know, we love to talk about goaltending. I'm looking at this. Carolina is going with Antti Raanta right now. As we mentioned, Freddie Anderson is injured, and we're still not 100% sure what's going on there. But I would argue that Igor Shesterkin did not have a great first round against the Penguins. Good enough to win. Took him seven games to get by. But is Shesterkin playing on the same level as Raanta right now? And if that's the case, Boy, that really pushes this series out for me, because while I think Carolina is a deeper team, the Rangers really have some star power and some guys capable of just taking over games at times, like an Adam Fox or an Artemi Panarin, a Chris Kreider. Not that Carolina doesn't have weapons, but man, I just look at the Rangers. And again, we don't play the games on paper, but if the goaltending is even, I feel like the Rangers are a more talented team. Maybe Carolina's a harder working, more systematic team. This one could be a really interesting battle. You know, the old immovable object versus the irresistible force.
I wonder, though, I agree with you on the goaltending for the Rangers. While he was tremendous during the regular season, tremendous. Especially the beginning of that series, he did not look great. against Pittsburgh, and I wonder, and I'm sure Pittsburgh fans and players got to be thinking, if we had had Jarry, a healthy Jarry, for seven games, we probably would have won that series. Just because the way, you know, the Rangers, their goaltending was going, they were fortunate they went to a number three goalie in Pittsburgh. But that being said, right now you're looking at that series and you go, well, they're going with a number two goalie in Carolina to start, at least. And we have no idea what the situation is with Anderson, when or if he's coming back. And I still think for the Rangers, I can't believe they're feeling fully confident in their goaltending right now. So that to me is the biggest story in that series. I agree with you. You have a hardworking, real team-oriented club in Carolina, high-flying, a lot of skill, really fun, young Rangers team. But the question mark for both clubs is goaltending, and I think that will determine who wins that series. If the Rangers get the goaltending that they got during the regular season, they really have a good chance to win if Anderson doesn't come back and play.
The other thing I'm looking forward to in this one, honestly, is the coaching matchup. I think that the Gallant versus Brind'Amour is actually going to be pretty fascinating. These guys are, they're both very heady coaches, and I think they read situations well and adjust their tactics. It's going to be a bit of a chess match, which is a lot of fun to watch the game inside the game. And so I'm really looking forward to that part of it, too, and to see how the lineup alterations work, how teams may, juggle things a little bit if it comes to that. But, man, this game one is going to be just so exciting for me. I'm looking forward to that. That one is going to be Wednesday night. I'm looking at all four of these series, but since we're just talking about the East, I do have a hard time seeing anything less than six games in either one of them. And the only question I have in the Rangers, and outside of the obvious, is Freddie Anderson coming back, is can the Rangers play enough defense or puck control offense to derail Carolina's system? Because I still think Carolina's probably the better team, but boy, the Rangers are really, really close to that point, and there's not a lot separating them.
No. But I do like the offense for the Rangers. I really do. That's
hard not to.
Oh, my goodness. It's fun. Really, really fun team. And now they have to play the first two games down in Carolina. And you know what? They'll draw a decent crowd, and it'll be okay. But yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. And I'm probably a little prejudiced just because I grew up there. And I
think you might be, yeah, a little bit.
But I'm just going to say the rain played playoff game in Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
that,
sure.
That game seven was just, oh, my goodness, it was just great. It was so much fun when they won that thing. It's a building unlike any other. And it's such an interesting fan base. And it's just an exciting place to play. And I think for the Rangers, they need a split in Carolina, which is not easy to do, and be able to come back to Madison Square. Do you think, I guess that leads to the question, in the East, Carolina's got home ice, Florida has home ice. Do you think that's much of a factor in either of those two series? Even in today's NHL, does the home ice really mean what it used to mean? I mean, years and years ago.
I think for Carolina Rangers, it actually does matter a lot. One less game in MSG is important, but also lineup matching. And again, going back to that coaching chess match, I think that's going to be a big one for me as far as, you know, having that advantage. That's where home ice matters. So, yeah, I think it does matter in that series. Florida-Tampa Bay, you know what's going to be interesting to me, Mike? I want to wrap up Carolina first, but just remind me to talk about how much the fans are going to travel in that series. I'm kind of curious, but I wanted to give X factors real quick. For me, the Rangers, and we've been with teams that have had to come back from playoff deficits in series before. The Rangers had to come back time and time again, whether it was come from behind wins or coming from behind in that series. I think that that's going to be a big, big factor for them because they won a series against a talented Penguins team, and now they get to look in the mirror and say, you know what, we're not out of this at any point, no matter what it looks like out there.
Yeah, no, they had the toughest comeback of any series. They were down 3-1, and that, and I will say this, that I believe out of all the series we had in the first round, Pittsburgh was the only one that blew it. When you have a 3-1 lead, and you've got Stanley Cup winners on your team, albeit you're going with your number three goalie for the first games until you get to game seven, but Pittsburgh blew it. But for the Rangers, if you reverse that, you are, I agree with you, that is a confidence booster. It is for several reasons. One, you're down 3-1, you didn't give up. You show to yourself against a very good Pittsburgh team, you can come back, you can win games, you can win the series. And there is nothing like winning a game seven in overtime at home. I mean, that's just, you got to be feeling good going to the next round. It was a tough series, but you're also playing a team that had to go the distance in Carolina too, against a very physical Boston team. So neither team, I think, gets an advantage there in terms of rest or hard fought previous series. I think it was pretty even in the sense of what both teams had to go through. So that doesn't give either team an advantage. So there's no X factor there for me in terms of who gets the advantage coming out of that first round, other than I think Rangers maybe get just a hair of they had to come back and they get that confidence of winning in overtime in the seventh game.
One thing that I think matters for me and my X factor for Carolina is going to be special teams. I look at this Hurricanes team as one that really, let's face it, they have to be really on top of it, penalty killing and power play. I think that that's going to make such a difference, especially when one goal either way can matter in a series. If Carolina, who can be very good killing penalties, excellent killing penalties, because they are disciplined, because they are well coached. And they also need to convert those power play chances, Mike, against the Rangers, because I feel like the Rangers have a little bit more the ability to score at will. Not that we didn't see Carolina blow up Boston a few times. They did. But Shesterkin is not Allmark. Shesterkin is not, the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman. So I really think that's going to be my X factor for Carolina, is they have to put away the power play chances and kill off the penalties against.
Yeah, for sure. And, they'll get that opportunity at home. They get the last change in those first two games. And both these coaches are smart and determined. And I think, having the home ice advantage, winning. You wonder sometimes all that effort you put in at the end of the season to finish first, does it matter? Well, it might. In when you get to the second round, third round, that might matter. Having that home ice advantage for four of the seven games when you get the matchups maybe you want, and just the feeling in the building, and those sort of things. So all that effort that Carolina put in at holding off the Rangers during the regular season may pay off for them here in the playoffs, here in the second round.
So that one is going to be interesting. I don't know if you want to pick winners out of these series or not, Mike, if you just want to break it down.
Yeah, I like to wait to see what's going to happen in that first game. I think out of all the series, I think St. Louis has the biggest weight on them to win game one. I just think that because of what happened in the first round, I just think in Carolina and New York, I don't think if you lose game one that you're done. I think that the series is still up for grabs. And I think the same thing. We're talking East Conference now, and I think the same thing with Tampa Bay and Florida, that both teams have proved in the first round you can fall behind in the series and come back and win. So, in fact, all four teams really have proved, you know, you get down a little bit or you're even that you have it, you can win. So I don't think there's anybody in the Eastern Conference that feels that pressure in game one. So I just think, would you agree on that? I don't think anybody has an advantage just because of what they proved in the first round of falling behind in series and being able to come back and win.
Yeah, I think so. And I actually applaud Florida for beating Washington even when the Capitals started playing physical, because I look at the Panthers and I feel like, and they are, they're a track meet team. They want to use their speed. They want to use their weapons. They want to fly up and down the ice and beat you by filling your net with a bunch of pucks. So Washington can do that, but they also really kind of had them skating through quicksand for a little while and slowed their game down, won a couple of games doing that. Mm-hmm. But Florida found a way to adjust. And not that Tampa Bay is necessarily a threat to do that, but Tampa Bay can play physical as well. And just going down the check marks, Mike, in my head, you compare those two teams, I think you give the nod to goaltending to Tampa. Defense is close, but probably to Tampa. Forwards, close, and of course injuries, we'll see what's going on with that.
Yeah. No Braden Point in game one.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. And can Huberdeau continue to have a massive season? Does Barkov have an even bigger game capability in him? You know, so these are questions we have to answer. We know the Lightning have those guys. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just all question marks for Florida as they come into the second round still. And of course, can Bobrovsky not only play well, but I think he's going, I'm not going out on a limb here, he's going to have to be great in this series. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. And let's talk about I think we spent a lot of time on our shows this year talking about Andrew Brunette. You are now as a rookie coach and not just a rookie coach in the NHL. This is the first time you've ever coached as a head coach, any level. And now you are going up against the coach who has proved himself to be a great coach in John Cooper. He's won two Stanley Cups. You do not win Stanley Cups without being a great coach. You just, especially two in a row, that's some coaching, because it's that second one especially. And now you've got your team in a spot where you know there was points late in the season where didn't know if they were going to finish as a wild card team. And he pushed them enough. They finished third, and they were behind in that series against Toronto and came back and won it in Toronto. That's good coaching. It just is. Will Andrew Brunette be able to match the coaching of John Cooper? That to me is a huge factor in this series. It really is. And I give Brunette a lot of credit. He got his team to finish first overall in the NHL. He got them, even though they fell behind in that series. And you thought, oh boy, is this just one of those learning experiences? You're trying to figure this out. It's a team that played great. And they just went up against a veteran, tough team, but he got them through. So it may not be as one-sided as you think, but boy, you'd have to think that the advantage goes to Tampa Bay in terms of the coaching.
And Mike, remember, same thing happened in the regular season after he took over. They were doing okay for a while. Well, they were doing really well for a while, but then they hit that lull. It was like a 5 or 6 game stretch where we started to wonder if, okay, the magic is over now and what's going to happen with Florida. Well, they kind of went into the dumpster for those couple of games, those 2 weeks, and came right back out of it. So they did it during the regular season. I think in miniature, they did it in that Washington series. They had a lull. They came back. They cannot afford to have a lull against Tampa Bay, because all of a sudden you're down 2 games if you have a lull against Tampa Bay, and now you're really struggling to win the third. So hopefully they kind of got it out of their playoff system, I guess, if you will. But You're right. I'm very curious to see a lot of things in this Tampa-Florida series that, again, all eyes for me on the Florida Panthers. I know what Tampa Bay can do. I know what they bring to the table. Whether or not they're healthy is the only question I have for them. But, man, Florida, to a man, I need to see a lot of guys stepping up.
You do not want to get to a situation where Tampa Bay has won three games and you got Vasilevsky ready to close out a series.
Right.
You do not want that. That's done. You're done. As nobody had more comebacks in games than Florida did this year. But now you're facing the best goaltender when the game is on the line, when the series is on the line the last 3 years. He is. It's a statistical fact that he is the best.
Yeah.
And so if you're Florida, you better be, I mean, you're not expecting, you have to be realistic. You're not expecting to sweep the series, but you better be marching step by step. It better be 1-1, 2-2 going into that fifth game. If you fall behind 3-1 to Tampa Bay, you're done. You're done. Vasilevsky and that team will shut you down. So for Tampa Bay, they know how to win series. I was wondering whether they were going to be out of gas, and they looked a little bit like that, against Toronto. But Toronto reminds me a lot of Florida too. They lean heavy offensively with a lot of good goal scorers. So it's a little bit of the same matchup. Florida's, I think, a little better than Toronto, but it's the same sort of team playing against Tampa Bay. And we saw what they did. They had their hands full, for sure, against Toronto. Toronto had their opportunity to win. But for Florida, you're right. Bobrovsky's got to be great in the series, and you have got to match Tampa Bay in games. You just can't fall behind 3-1 in that series. You've got to be at least, you've got to, if I mean, if you're up, hey, great, now you're in great shape, but you better be 2-2 going into game five, looking for that third win. Don't you agree? I think Tampa Bay still, they've still got enough, and they still got the goaltender when it comes down to closing out a series. That's a tough win.
Yeah, I can agree with that wholeheartedly. And X factors for me, I'm going to look at Florida. As tempted as I am to point at the goaltending, I'm actually going to pick Jonathan Huberdeau just because of the regular season he had, how important it was to the team, how important he's become to the team, and how he really needs to continue to be one of the guys driving the bus for this Panthers team, which then makes my X factor to cancel it out on the other side, Victor Hedman and the Tampa Bay Lightning defense. Because as much as you can talk all day about Point and Stamkos and Kucherov and all the brilliant forwards up front for the Lightning, everything runs through Victor Hedman. You know, Hedman's involved in the offense, involved in the defense. He's just such an incredible all. I think, can he be a Norris Trophy winning guy and be underrated? I think so, only because of the team he's on. I just don't think he gets enough credit for as good as he is, and he's going to have to be on his A game this series.
Yep. I think another X factor is Claude Giroux. You got the biggest get for a trade. Giroux was, I think, ended up being, you know, the biggest get in terms of forwards at the trade deadline, and you got him. This is why you got him.
Yeah.
You got him for this reason. Goals become tougher to score. You're playing against the two-time defending champs. You need a guy who can get you that big goal. This is why you gave up a lot to get Claude Giroux. To me, he's the X factor for Florida. There's a lot of pressure on him. I don't know. He hasn't been in these situations.
True.
Lately. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is why you made the trade. And for Tampa, Braden Point is out for game one. I don't know enough about how long he's out or how serious an injury, but he has proved himself to be a hugely big factor for Tampa Bay in scoring big goals, important goals, timely goals, clutch goals. That's a huge loss. When you think of Tampa Bay, I mean, you've got some big time names for sure. But when you look at the stats over the last 2 years in the playoffs, Braden Point have scored some big time goals for that team. So that to me is the X factor. How long is he out?
Absolutely. And by the way, it, not that it's a record or anything, because it's certainly not, but it is impressive to note that Tampa has won 9 straight playoff series now.
It's unbelievable. It's you're getting you know the only team that you start hearkening back and you're going, wow, what the Islanders did in the 80s, that'll never be done again. But I don't know. I said at the beginning of the season, and we'll see if I'm wrong on this. I just didn't think in today's day and age of in the NHL that you can win 3 in a row. But Tampa Bay, this will be their tough test here against Florida, because Florida's just great. I mean, they can flat out score, and they're young and they're hungry too. That's the other thing. They're hungry. It's that this is a series against hunger and against knowing how to win already. To me, it's the most fascinating series I think I'm going to watch in the NHL playoffs entirely. This to me is the Stanley Cup final to me.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait for that one to kick off as well. And tonight we've got the Lightning and the Panthers, and then the Blues and the Avalanche. So, Mike, it's a good point for us to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to talk about the West on the other side of it here on the Talking Puck Podcast. We'll be right back. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now, back to the show. All right, time to take a look at the Western Conference here on the Talking Puck Podcast. If you like what you hear, please like, follow, subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. We appreciate you being here. Also, don't forget, Mike and I broadcast live every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on Twitch, on YouTube, and Facebook Live. Look for Talking Puck TV. If you ever miss the Sunday night show, we are on stnradio.com. 7 o'clock, it is an audio-only replay of the Sunday Night Show, stnradio.com. And by the way, check out all the other awesome programming over there as well. They have music going 24/7. They have live DJs. Very cool, very cool. Very neat to be associated with stnradio.com. All right, we did the East. Now let's take a look at the West. And Mike, I mean, we can dive right into, I think, probably the biggest, at least... You know, I know there's a lot of sports book stuff going on these days, and it was kind of funny. A buddy of mine sent me a meme poking fun at the fact that Sportsnet accidentally aired several continuous minutes of hockey coverage instead of gambling information. When it came to it, just that's all it is. Everybody's throwing out, oh, well, the numbers here, the odds here. Kind of hard to ignore, though. Colorado is the biggest favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They've also been sitting the longest. They swept Nashville. They've had pretty much nothing to do for a week. They're getting back at it tonight against a St. Louis team that has had a couple days to rest and recuperate from a 6-gamer with the Minnesota Wild. Game one in this series, you alluded to it in the first half of the podcast. Man, this is a big one because the questions are there. Will Colorado wake up and jump in and dive in, be fresh? Will they get caught napping? What is St. Louis like physically? Are they sharper because they've had less of a layoff? I have so many questions to be answered tonight.
This is the only game one, I think, that could have a lot of effect on the series as opposed to the other three. I just think you know, we'll talk about the Battle of Alberta here in a few moments, but that one could, you know, I think whoever wins game one, that doesn't necessarily win the series, and I certainly don't think that's the case out east. This might give us a taste of what we're looking at. Is it a team that is stale, sitting around, not had a really easy first round, versus a team that plays hard, a team that's going to be physical, a team that's going to try to grind on you, a team that has won the Stanley Cup in the last 3 years, and you have a team that had to battle through, knows how to win. But you're also going up against the best team in the Western Conference, a team that's healthy and a team that, did about everything they needed to do in the first round. And if they're rested and ready and they win game one, you could see them winning game two. And now you go to St. Louis, and St. Louis is in big trouble going back to St. Louis. That's why I think this first game, will tell us a lot about where each team is. More so than any other series, I think.
And absolutely, I can't agree more with you that this is probably the most important game one. And I think St. Louis is built to come out and try to throw that big punch early. They can be physical. They can lean on you and grind on you. And I like that style. That's what Craig Berube preaches. That's what got him a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. And I think that Colorado, look, they're a puck possession team. And they play defense by playing offense. You know, it's real hard to score goals against Colorado when you can't touch the puck. And to me, St. Louis is going to have to come out and physically knock Colorado off the puck all series long. They are capable of doing it. They're probably the last good test for Colorado, depending on how the Battle of Alberta goes. But even then, I think the Blues are the team that can derail the Avalanche here. So, yeah, this is going to be a big one, especially on the road, to take that crowd out of it and kind of also jump on one thing that I hate to harp on the goaltending all the time, but the Avalanche protect their goalies, you know, in ways from really having to be spectacular. I think if the Blues exert pressure on a Darcy Kemper, just like, or Pavel Francouz, depending on, you know, injuries and how the series goes. Those guys, they're good, but they're not great. You could maybe say that about Jordan Binnington, Ville Husso, but at least Binnington's won a cup. You know, he's been through that already. I give him the check mark in the experience column.
Yep. I'm just waiting. Kemper's going to get hurt at some point. You're just waiting for that to happen. That's just, it seems like inevitable. He just gets hurt all the time. I remember even when he was with Minnesota, he was playing in a game, in game seven, and in overtime, he took himself out of the game. He was hurt. Now Minnesota still won, but I mean, he's fragile. He'll get hurt at some point. Especially if St. Louis plays tough around the net and they make him work. But you're right. It's hard to do that when all you're doing is chasing the other team with the puck. I've coached enough teams, played enough. You've been around teams. One of the most frustrating things in hockey is when the other team has the puck all the time and they move it around and it's a core group that's been around each other for a while. They know how to move that puck around. They got a dynamic power play. They're really good at home, and you know whether or not the elevation makes any kind of difference. You know that's up to the experts. I think it does personally, but so they got a lot of factors going for them. They're well rested. They didn't get hardly touched at all in that first round. Nashville gave them nothing, and if they come out ready, excited, especially at home, it's one thing if even though you've been sitting around, nothing happening, but then you get a full crowd, you get that building buzzing, you get that excitement, the adrenaline flowing, you're right back into it. These guys, you know, they've been playing enough games. I don't think, you know, even if you come out a little stale in the first period, you've got so much firepower, you got so much talent that even if you give up the first goal or two, you know that you've got enough offensively to come back. But for St. Louis, we talk about goaltending with and I wonder when Kemper is going to get hurt. But Bennington, he was not the number one. He wasn't the starter for game one in the opening series.
Right.
So, but he proved himself. He took over. You wonder, does he have some confidence going now? Because that was a pretty decent Minnesota team, and he played really well. How's he feeling about himself? And I would think he's feeling pretty good. And that could be a factor, too. If he can start frustrating them offensively, that could go a long way. Because it's one thing to have the puck all the time, but then when you're getting frustrated when you're not scoring, I've seen it. Then you start unraveling. You know, it's that old hockey saying, you're gripping the stick too hard. You're trying too hard. Then that, if Bennington can hold the fort down and keep the games close and St. Louis can start to wear on them, they'll have a chance. If they don't, then you know what, then they're, especially in the first couple of games, they lose both games. I think that's the end of the series. They're not going to win four out of the next five games against them. So it's more than any other series. Game one will be a telling factor of how this is going to go. Coaching wise, you know, Berube is a really good coach. He's won a Stanley Cup. The team plays the way that he wants them to play. You have to give him maybe just a little bit of an edge, but certainly Colorado had the best record in the Western Conference, so they're well coached as well.
Here's another thing that really we're not hearing much of, but I think is a definite bullet point to this series for me. We talk about the best player in the NHL all the time because it's just a fun topic to kick around. And of course, the Austin Matthews, you know, there were some numbers and fancy stats that came out earlier this year that said maybe Matthews is better than McDavid. We talk about Draisaitl. I always try to bring up Nathan MacKinnon in that conversation, but even though the Avalanche are as good as they are, even though they had a great regular season, I am finding it tougher and tougher to keep him in that conversation as one of the best, as the best, I'll say, player in the league. He will not enter that conversation in full until he gets his team into a Stanley Cup final. And I think that this, like, MacKinnon is not getting any younger, and neither is this team. It is a really good team. It was a powerful team in the regular season. Until Nathan MacKinnon decides that he is going to be the best Avalanche player in this series and move this team past St. Louis, he's not entering that conversation. And I think the pressure is on him right now, Mike, to do that. And this is a big, big series for him.
Well, the other players in the conversation, you have Matthews, who, he's on a Toronto team. Now, he hasn't been there for all those years, but what, 7 years in a row now? They have not been able to get past the first round. You have Edmonton. Now, McDavid showed me something in that last game against L.A. He looked hungry in that one, didn't he? I thought he looked like that's what you want to see out of McDavid.
More emotion, right, after he scored that second goal than we've seen probably in his lifetime in Edmonton.
Right. So you wonder, you know, we'll talk about that series in a moment here, but, you're looking at, I understand what you're saying about having to get to the Stanley Cup finals to be considered, but the only other two players in this conversation right now are Matthews, who can't get past the first round, and McDavid, who, I think he's gotten to the second round once and has missed the playoffs at other times. So I don't know. Is that fair to say that if you're the best player when the conversation you're having is with two other players who haven't won anything either?
Well, if you're not leading the league in goals or points, and I think Draisaitl's in that conversation.
I agree.
I see what you're saying.
That if you don't have the stats and you want to be considered the best, that you've got to lead your team to wins. I see what you're saying.
And there's a lot of people would pick him and put him on their team first. There's arguments to be made in all kinds of directions for who you would pick, but. I think this is big. If Colorado gets beat by St. Louis, if the Blues come through, they win this series, which I think they're fully capable of doing. This would be my one. You want to talk about an upset pick? This is my upset pick, St. Louis. I think they can do it, and Colorado's going to have to be right on top of things to be able to get through this series. You know what, Mike? I know you say Florida-Tampa's a Stanley Cup for you. This might be the Stanley Cup for me. St. Louis-Colorado.
Really?
Yeah. I think this series is going to be titanic, and people are looking past it. It's going to be amazing. Okay. I'm calling it.
That is in the books for me then.
Yes. All right. There you go. So then on the other side, you want to talk about Titanic. The Battle of Alberta stretches back as long as these two cities have had hockey. Calgary and Edmonton. Man, this is.
It's been a long time since they played each other.
And you know, it's. I'm reading all the headlines. The Battle of Alberta has changed, but the emotion will still be there. It's like. No, not for the fans, it hasn't. It has not changed at all for the fans. And yes, both of those buildings will be rocking. Look, the names and numbers change on the jerseys for sure. But this is a massive, massive rivalry.
I that has always bothered me so much. Because I used to get that all the time about as the years went by, Red Wings, Colorado, is that rivalry still the same? Even though all the guys who played, in the late 90s are gone. I said, it's not about the players, it's the fans who have the rivalry. It's the same thing for the Red Sox and Yankees. It's the players change, but the rivalry doesn't. And so to me, it's the same thing for Edmonton Oilers fans and Calgary Flames fans. It doesn't matter if it's Lanny McDonald against Wayne Gretzky or what, it's Calgary against Edmonton. The rivalry still means so much to those fans. The players have heard about it. They may be so young they didn't even see it, but the fans care. And that, to me, that still makes it a rivalry. It's still one of the great hockey rivalries that continues on, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And it's interesting, Mike, you talk about the fans. It reminds me of the AFC East in football because I'm an AFC East fan. I'm a Bills fan. And it's funny because you talk to fans of other teams. There is no real direct rivalry in the NFC or the AFC East because the Bills fans hate the Dolphins, but the Dolphins fans hate the Jets. The Jets fans hate the Patriots, and the Patriots are hated by everybody, and they don't care who hates them. That's your Boston sports fan, right? But it's interesting to have that. We all want to beat the teams in our division. But it is, it's me as a Bills fan or, you as a whatever fan, just saying, well, this is the team that matters the most to me that we beat them. And I would be hard pressed to go into Edmonton or Calgary and say, who's the most important team for you to beat, and have more than a handful of people say, pick somebody else like Vancouver or Winnipeg. No. They're saying the Oilers and the Flames.
Of course. That's it. That's the rivalry. And that's what makes it fun. Both teams had to go to game sevens to advance. They both, it was hard to win. Calgary especially had to go to overtime against a Dallas team to advance. And Edmonton had their hands full with LA. That was not an easy win in that series either for Edmonton. So I just think it sets up a really, really interesting series. I think Calgary's the better team. I think they can match them pretty close to the offense, fairly close. But I think that they certainly have the advantage in goaltending, and I think they're a much better defensive team than Edmonton. I'm going to be very surprised if Calgary doesn't win this series. I think Calgary learned a lot about themselves in that first round against Dallas, a team that just smothered a hot goaltender. In Dallas, and they found a way to win. I mean, they in that game seven, I watched that, they just were swarming. And they're Calgary's really good. They're a good team. And I think Edmonton's riding a high, but they played an LA team that I don't know. That team doesn't excite me at all. But they got through it. They won it. And they've got, two of the best players in the league. Draisaitl, McDavid could put on a show any night. You never know with those guys. They could light it up, but it's hard for me to believe. As good a series as could be, Calgary's the better team. I think it's their series to lose. When I look at the other series, you can make a case, I think, for each team in that series winning. But this, to me, this is the series that you go, Calgary should not, Calgary, this is Calgary's series to win. I think they lose the series, not that Edmonton wins. I think Calgary's such a better team.
Dallas did a really good job against the Flames and keeping their offense off the board most of the time. And as you mentioned, hot goaltender really helped. I mean, Ottinger played fantastic.
Yeah, he did.
But Calgary still found a way and needed their names to step up and be the big guys, and they did. And you know what? Johnny Hockey is Johnny Hockey right now, and it's fun to watch. And I know you're a big fan of watching him play.
Love him.
And the Oilers are not defensively the stars. They're just not. And Mike Smith is not, you know, Jake Ottinger. It's not that close. The thing is, Dallas couldn't score.
Right.
So the Oilers can score.
Right.
This, if the Oilers are going to win this series, and I'm leaning towards Calgary as well, but if they are going to win this series, they are going to have to go back to that fire wagon hockey and outscore them 4-3, 5-4, 6-5. That is how the Oilers are going to win this series. I don't see close, like 3-2 games, 2-1 games going the way of Edmonton. I don't really see that. No, I mean, I could be wrong. Both goaltenders could play out of their minds, but much like you talk about Darcy Kuemper getting hurt, Mike Smith has a history of getting hurt. And I wonder, you know, the deeper into the playoffs you run on the, you know, downhill side of 40, how durable are you going to be? We look at Marc-Andre Fleury. We were talking about, you know, trying to manage his minutes in a six game series. And would you take Fleury over Mike Smith? I would, but Mike Smith advances and does so with a shutout in Game 7. So,
right.
I don't know.
No, and he played every second. I mean,
yeah, you know,
he played the whole series. So, and now, if you're Edmonton, logic would tell you that this is not going to be needed. You're not going to win this series in 4 or 5 games against Calgary. This you need a goaltender who can last 6-7 games. And win you four games. It's asking a lot for Mike Smith. It's asking a lot for an old goaltender who has a history of getting hurt. You're asking a lot, I think.
Well, and both teams, let's face it. I mean, everybody at this point is going to have bumps and bruises, and staying healthy is going to be incredibly important. I just see one thing I like the Flames for over the Oilers is I just like their depth. You know, that has a lot to do with coaching and the way that Coach Sutter utilizes the depth of that Flames team. Mike, I really think he does a great job deploying guys where they need to be to make an impact. And that to me is going to be the difference in this series. The Flames will have that ability to go to one extra position player to be able to get past Edmonton.
Yeah, no, I think I didn't want to make a prediction on any the series, except I think this one, I'm going to be surprised if Calgary doesn't win. I think this is the one series I go, this is a team that should advance. I know you're thinking maybe St. Louis can pull an upset, but I think the West, the top team is much more favored in their series than we have out East.
Absolutely.
I think out East, it's just, I who knows who's going to win those either series. Really? It could go either way. I think there are a little more favorites from the first place teams in the West. I think the East is a much tougher conference. And I just think it's going to be tougher to get out of the East than it is the West. I think the West is a little bit easier, and I think the first place team is clearly the favorite in each of the playoff series out West.
Yep, I can't disagree with that one. So that's our look at what's coming up here, and it starts tonight. If you're hearing this on a Tuesday, if you're hearing it on Wednesday, well, everything kicked off last night, and you already know what happened. We don't. You know, hopefully, Mike, we get our money's worth and more out of this round. The potential always exists for disappointments, but, man, I just can't see it happening. Everything looks like it's just set up to be so, so good. And the TV ratings, you mentioned that before we started taping. The TV ratings are showing that.
Yeah, they TNT is reporting that's the most viewers ever in the history of the NHL in the first round. So good for them. And you know what? It's certainly about the. It's always about the games. It's not necessarily the presentation or anything like that. It's about, are the games intriguing? Are they close? And the series were all, the series except for one series. The other seven were great series. It was back and forth and overtime games and game sevens, and it lent itself. I think as a fan, you wanted to keep watching because you just didn't know how things were going to go in seven out of the eight series. I just hope that we get that same sort of thing in the second round. I just enjoy it as a hockey fan. I want to watch long series. I want to watch series that are close. I want to watch overtimes. I want to watch series that keep me on the edge of my seat back and forth. And that to me is what makes the NHL playoffs fun. Is I don't necessarily want to watch a team dominating. I want to watch some close series, and we had that in the first round for the most part, and it looks like we should see that in the second round as well.
Absolutely. All right, well, that'll wrap it up for our second round preview here on the Talking Puck podcast. Subscribe to the podcast if you would, please. If you like what you hear, click the bell. You get the notifications anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget, Mike and I are live 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday nights on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook Live. Look for Talking Puck TV. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Talking Puck podcast. We'll talk to you again soon.